escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Red Sox could use a double play. It's a ground ball to short off the glove of Story. Everybody's going to be safe. The throw goes to third, but the runner was coming back home. Now a throw to third and safe there. Oh, boy, the Red Sox can't do anything right.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Megan Adelini here with you with John Lyons for the next 4 hours. You heard it there. Just one of many struggling calls from the second half of the Red Sox game against the Reds last night. Second of a doubleheader, really, because they had to wrap the middle game there. If you want to join the show today, the number is 617-779-7937. If you want to call in or text, you can find the show on Twitter at Jones and Keefe. You can find us on Instagram at Jones and Keefe. And, of course, you can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. But I got to start with the guy who was the witness to that catastrophe, that meltdown that started really in the seventh inning. Sox had a 3-0 lead in the sixth inning, looked like they were going to have the sweep. I was typing up in our show doc. I was like, all right, we're going to start off on a positive note. Was on the edge a little bit yesterday going, I don't know how they're going to be going up against the trade deadline. I don't know if they've earned the benefit of the doubt. And then everything that this team has been doing poorly through the season just emerged in the final innings of last night. It was a complete collapse. But John Lyons, you were there in the stands. So give us the mood, boots on the ground from Fenway Park last night.
And to top it all off, Mego, down 8-4 in the eighth inning, everybody had to sing Sweet Caroline, which was just atrocious. I hate that so much. Any chance?
It's getting dark with that song.
So Abreu hits the home run, and you go up 3-0 in the sixth, and I'm sitting there, much like you said, thinking, all right, you're going to have a nice sweep of the Reds here. You know, go into this series against the Nationals this weekend, a bad team. You have the Rockies coming up. Maybe get some momentum.
The worst team.
Yes, and don't forget, last night, had they won, they would have been back to .500. Again, heading into the National Series with the Rockies coming up after that, and you'd say, okay, maybe they have something going here. They can get above .500 by the All-Star break, come out of the All-Star break, that series in Wrigley and approaching the trade deadline. And then the wheels fell off, as you said, and it was every single thing that we've had a problem with them, not just this year, Mego, but really for 3 years now, right? Defensively, poor base running, a questionable decision by Cora to leave Weissert in as long as he did, pitcher's inability to throw strikes. I mean, all these things, I feel like, you know, we've sat here in 2023 and talked about this, 2024 and talked about this, and now we're talking about it in 2025 once again. And again, like you said, all those things came to rear their ugly heads.
Are you a fan of Westerns?
To a point. Yeah, I like some.
Like, how about spaghetti Westerns?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what a spaghetti Western is?
No.
From the 60s and 70s.
Oh,
Clint Eastwood filming Westerns in Italy. Because it looks like the Western U.S. and it was cheaper to make.
I did not know.
So one of the most famous, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I think that's how you can categorize that second game from last night, which was the good. Like, unfortunately, people probably won't totally remember Willy Abreu and the fantastic homestand that he had coming back. And it makes you look at him plus Roman Anthony and you go, okay, once Alex Bregman comes back, is this team going to find something offensively that they can actually lean on now that Raffy's gone? It looked pretty tough there for the last 2 weeks, but hey, these three are putting something together. You're getting some power in the bats. So that's the good. The bad, as you said, Weissert, guy looks totally gassed. Like, looks totally gassed. I understand why they wanted to go into a bullpen game for the second game. I know some people were just running up against that because they felt like Bayo should have started that game. But you were already leading in the second game. So, like, if you're trying to, Cora's obsessed with winning series. If you're trying to win the series, then you just give Bayo the easy start, in quotations, for the second game yesterday. And then you go to the bullpen game for the third. But Weissert obviously just looks completely gassed. And then the ugly, as you said, all the defensive mistakes, all the errors. And, of course, I hate to pick on the guy, but if you pick out one play from the night, the Romy Gonzalez base running error, why was he going for third? Like, why was he trying to force that into a triple? To me, I can't even pick on the guy because it's such a bad habit of this team with the base running mistakes.
And it'd be one thing, like, if that was Jaron Duran, who's tied for the major league lead in triples, or if that was David Hamilton, who's got a ton of speed and tried to stretch it to third. But Romy Gonzalez, not necessarily a fast guy. And you could see that coming, that he was going to get thrown out. Just a total misjudgment. I assume it's a misjudgment by him and not by the third base coach. I think he just did that on his own. But you look at the seventh.
Wait. You don't put that on the coaches? I understand it was a blunder.
No, that specific moment.
But I think that moment, like, shows the bigger picture of what's wrong over the last at least three seasons.
Oh, the bigger picture, Mego, I 100% put on the coaching staff, the minor league development staff. I was talking about this on Sunday. I did Red Sox review after the game, and I think it's really telling, Mego, that you look at all the young players they have, and the Red Sox have essentially built their identity around the kids, right? How many years have we been hearing about the kids, the prospects? This is what's coming.
Well, it's the carrot that they dangle for fans who are sick of seeing people leave.
Of course, right? And then you, before the year, you have three prospects ranked in the top 25. Like, this is what we're hearing about. And yet all these guys, I mean, Roman Anthony should have been charged with two errors last night. That double over his head in right field, he came in on that ball, misjudged it, then had to turn around and went over his head. To me, that's an error. And then you even mentioned in our show doc, which I know we're going to get to, that Marcelo Meyer not making the play. But Roman Anthony then overthrew second base, could have had a force play there. Like, to me, that should be an error too. So he really should have made two. Well, he did make two errors, should have been charged them. But what I think is telling, Mego, on this is in the last couple years, I think they've only really had two young players come up ready to be in the big leagues to me. One is Willy Abreu, won a gold glove last year and was good. The other is Narvaez this year, who's been, I think, an all-star. What do they have in common? Weren't developed in the Red Sox system.
I was going to say, it's not guys who have been hanging out for years that they're propping up saying, look who's moving up to Portland. Look who's moving up to Worcester. Look who's hiding in a laundry basket so they can come out to Boston.
Yeah.
And that's like me picking a little bit more on the PR side of stuff and being like, this is quite annoying the way that they've propped up these young guys as, again, dangling the carrot. Eventually, you're going to get to see these guys. Eventually, it's going to be like having Mookie Betts again in 2018.
Cool,
it's going to feel that way.
Guy.
Yeah, if you could just have that guy. But yeah, I don't even want to knock the specific players because, like, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, these are guys who are still developing in the majors. So there's going to be those goofy mistakes. Of course you expect Roman Anthony, the level of prospect that he's been, to be able to make that throw and not just lob it like he was goofy caught in the moment. But at the same time, that's the process with young players. The base running thing to me, it's just been ongoing. And so obviously there's no coach who's waving Romy Gonzalez to try to go to third base in that moment. That was a decision that he made. But I do think that it represents some kind of disconnect in situational baseball that this team has had going on for the last three seasons at least.
And we saw her a couple of years ago. I think it was after the 2023 season that Cora made significant changes to his coaching staff. And it still doesn't seem like it has paid dividends. And to your point about these larger issues, like, go back over the last few years. Remember Jarren Duran in 2022? Didn't look ready for the big leagues at all. Tristan Casas, remember how much of an adventure it was for him in the field early on? Right, Rafaela was inconsistent last year, but I think some of that is they moved his positions. But we've seen Anthony be not fully ready. Christian Campbell had to get sent down. So this is something that they have had a problem with for years. Guys coming, and I agree with you that development is not linear, and some there's going to be growing pains. But we have a significant group of guys that have been hyped up that are not really ready to be in the big leagues, even when they're there. Even look at the pitching staff. Bayo, people, you know, Mini Pedro and all that.
That's been going on for years at this point.
And he was good in the month of June. But on May, he couldn't get out of the fifth inning, right? And he's been inconsistent. Tanner Houck has been inconsistent. So I think that's a problem they have had for years. Guys coming up, and that's why I compare it to Abreu and Narvaez. Now, Abreu and Narvaez haven't been perfect, right? Abreu had a tough month of May at the plate. I get it. But at least those guys you can look at and say, hey, they were at least ready to play in a big league game. And I think it's telling that both of them came up in another minor league system. And Breslow on Sunday on Nesson talked about it. And he's talked about it here on EEI, that we might have to look at what we're doing in the minor leagues and how these guys come up.
617-779-7937. Mego and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe up until 2 p.m. today. We're going to be joined, I should mention, by Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo Sports. Previously with The Ringer, host the Kevin O'Connor Show. Great NBA insider. He's going to talk to us about what to expect from the rest of free agency with the Celtics and what we can expect going into next season for what's shaping up to be an uncomfortable, if fascinating and somewhat depressing, offseason for the Celtics. That'll be at 11:20. But I kind of feel like the way that this series ended has ruined the series win for me from the Red Sox. And I know that's not fair. Stacking these series matters, and having two out of three against the Reds, who is a team that came into this series with a lot of momentum and is a good team, I just feel that the first win that they had was a little fraudy because of the tipping pitches stuff. And I'm not saying that that's cheating or anything, because I get it's not cheating, I get that, but you had a huge advantage that I don't think you can replicate in a lot of other series, unless you happen to go up against another young pitcher who doesn't realize that he's doing that in his second start. And then you get this weird split game between the 2 days. And then this third game, you give up a 3-0 lead in such a catastrophic
in
fashion,
the seventh inning,
as I said
way.
Before, in like, the seventh yeah. inning. Like, I don't really come out of this series, even though they won it. I'm not trying to be overly negative, but I don't come out of it with a ton of confidence going, man, now, as you said, you get the Nationals, you get the Rockies. This team's going to be absolutely rolling, and ownership is going to look at it and say, we can't not buy on these guys at the trade deadline.
And I think this is one of those games, Mego, because they did win the series, I get it, but this is one of those games that when we look back in early October and the Red Sox are 81-81 again and out of the playoffs, this is going to be one of those games you look back on and say, well, that was a missed opportunity. Much like they've lost two extra inning games in Toronto, including one where they gave up an eighth inning homer. That extra inning game against the Angels, they should have won last week. We know all their struggles in one-run games. They've been one of the worst teams in one-run games all season long. And I think this is just another one of those games that we will look back on and say, wow, if they just hold a 3-0 lead in the seventh inning, then maybe the rest of their July goes a little bit differently. Maybe we're having a different conversation. And it's just been happening time after time after time. I mean, even some of those Baltimore games. How about that Milwaukee series? You lose two in extra innings, one of which you're leading in the eighth. Like, this is another one of those games, and it's a symptom of base running, defense, timely pitching, all the things that go into just playing baseball well. And I know that's a simplistic phrase, but I've heard Lou Maloney use it quite a few times, and I think he's right. They just don't do a lot of those things well.
Well, it's the fundamentals, right? And a part of it is also, I think what we're talking around is composure. And so even if you're a team that sneaks into the third wild card spot, or let's say you get super frisky and you go higher than that, and you're in the postseason, Do you see anything from these types of games and last night's game that shows you that the team has the maturity, composure, fundamental soundness, or even situational know-how to execute in the postseason? Like, everybody likes to say, when you get into the postseason, anything's possible in baseball. It's easier to get in than ever. And once you get there, anything's possible. Like, you win one game and then all of a sudden you're in another series and then you get momentum. But I don't think that this team, especially with all the one-run losses, has shown that they understand the stakes that they're in at different points during the game. And it's almost like when one thing falls apart, when Abraham Toro has an error, when Romy Gonzalez makes a stupid decision on the base paths, everybody else seems to lose their composure. Everybody else seems to fall apart rather quickly. And I don't think that's indicative of a seriously competitive baseball game.
And we haven't even mentioned, don't forget, Trevor Story had an error too.
Right.
And that's one of your veteran guys.
It's like it becomes infectious for them.
And I think you look at this roster, and the two guys they brought in, I think, to help with what you're talking about were Buehler and Bregman, right? One guy in the rotation, one guy. But both guys have won multiple World Series. So Bregman's hurt. He's been good, but he's hurt.
Of course.
But Buehler had an ERA over 11 in the month of June. That World Series experience is great, but it doesn't do you any good if you're getting smoked every single time you go out there in the month of June.
Especially when you have seemingly, if you listen to him, been dealing with mechanical issues that go back to 2022. We're in 2025 right now. If you haven't figured those out after your Tommy John surgery, I'm not sure it's getting figured out. And with Walker Buehler, I don't want to pile on top of that, because it's just rough to watch him go out there.
I almost feel bad for the guy, to be honest with you.
I feel bad for him, but I feel worse for us that we have to watch it and then we have to consume him feeling bad after the game and talking about how embarrassed he is to go out there. I'd rather just, DFA, get him out of here. I understand that they're waiting for somebody to come in and take that spot, but that's been probably the most painful process of this entire season.
Well, and I think this is a symptom of, and we've talked about their development and all that, this is another symptom of the front office, where going into last offseason, they needed two guys at the top of the rotation, and they got one in Crochet, right? 2 years ago, they needed two and got zero, so I guess at least they got one. But still, you need two, you get one. They really could have used two bats in their lineup in the offseason, and they got one in Bregman. And then when he gets hurt, they traded another one away at Devers, right? So it's, to me, another larger symptom where they do these half measures. And they, again, Crochet is a hell of a lot more than they've gotten in previous years, but it's like you need two starters, you get one. And then it comes back to bite you, because you're relying on Hauk and Buehler, and Hauk has not been the same since the All-Star game last year, and Buehler's been terrible this year. And those are guys that, because you only brought in one starter in Crochet, one high-end starter in Crochet, now you're forced to rely on guys like that. Much like in the lineup, because Bregman gets hurt and you trade Devers, now you have to rely on Anthony and Meyer, which I think is in some ways a little bit unfair to them because they're so new, but that's what you're forced to do right now.
So I am curious, from the fan perspective, being at the game last night.
A lot of Reds fans there, by the way.
Oh, that's been going on for years at this point. But how many, when you get to the collapse last night, how many fans stayed, and what was the sensibility around you?
So it went in stages, right? You had your fans that got so frustrated after the grand slam, a few left there, a lot more left after that eighth inning, right? When there was eight runs on the board. And it's funny, because there was anger and frustration. The only time I heard real loud boos was when Cora kept Weissert in after the grand slam. And then he gives up another run, and then Cora finally comes out, and I heard loud boos. A lot of it was more just like, here we go again. It's almost
like
an expectation now that they're going to do something to screw this up. And part of it is their last few years. Part of it is their struggles in close games this year. But there was almost I was sitting there with my dad, and we were like, yeah, this, we don't feel great about, once the bases got loaded. And of course, the guy who hit the grand slam, by the way, Mago, was hitting 195. And it's like, you can't get that guy. He hits one.
No, I've never heard of that guy. He wasn't what it was.
Encarnacion Strand. Yeah.
He wasn't even supposed to be in the lineup last night.
And then he hits one out of the stadium. And I was like, come on. He was hitting 195. And then he got a single, I think, in his next at bat. And I was like, they can't get this guy out. You know what I mean? That was tough to watch. But again, it's an error and then a walk after the error. And when you're in the major leagues, I'm stating the obvious here, walks and errors a lot of times lead to runs.
Yeah. All right. Well, on the other side of this quick trending and break, we're going to address something from the morning show from Sam Kennedy. I guess he went on the morning show, who just wrapped up their last road show, and he didn't think that Chris Curtis was going to be there. And he said something that I thought was a tough beat for him. He said something that I think was pretty out of step with the way a lot of fans are feeling, even coming off of a series win, the way that that series wrapped last night. This was tough to hear from Sam Kennedy. This felt like a disconnect. So we're going to get to that and continue our Red Sox talk right after we hit What's Trending.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Things can change very quickly. We're 6 games back. We're not focused on anything other than the division. Getting ourselves back in a position to be playing meaningful games in September to position us to get into October. Things can change fast. Alex Cora was joking last night with Jason Veritek pregame about the date we're going to the White House next year. There is no lack of confidence in that clubhouse.
Sam Kennedy, president of the Boston Red Sox, with the Greg Hill Show just about an hour ago. Megan Adelini here with John Lyons, filling in for Jones and Keefe. When I heard that in my car driving in, John Lyons, I gasped. I said, what is he thinking saying that? If that's a true story, it probably is. Maybe it's a little bit of an elaboration from an exaggeration from Sam Kennedy. Why would you say that after the way that the game turned out last night? It was a total and utter late game collapse after you had a 3-0 lead, and you're talking about how Veritek and Cora were joking before the game in between the doubleheader that they're going to the White House. And when you say next year, are you talking about 2026? Because the way that you're sitting right now feels like that would be quite a Cinderella run. And again, he's making these comments after the loss. He's not saying those between games when it looks like they're going to sweep the series. He's not saying that in the sixth inning when they're up 3-0. He's saying that after the way that the game went last night. The the tone deafness. I'm sorry. Like, you can't just put it on Chris Curtis asking tough questions of Sam Kennedy and other people when they come on that program. That's an unforced error, something that the Red Sox have become very familiar with over the last several seasons.
Yeah, and if Chris asks tough questions, it's because they need to answer some of those tough questions. Look, as far as getting to the White House, I mean, I don't know if they're going to get there, Mego, by the next administration, let alone the next year. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Like, the way that, and even if they had won last night, Mego, that still would have only brought them to 500. Like, and look, Sam Kennedy.
500!
I know,
going
right?
To the White House. And going to the White House.
Like, Sam Kennedy's president of the team. I know he's a fan at heart. He's told us that all the time.
But okay.
Like, I've been a Red Sox fan my whole life, too, and I'm not looking at this team saying, hey, when are they going to go to the White House?
Like, if he's a fan at heart, and, isn't he coming away from that game going, God,
we're not good enough?
What happened?
Like, you almost wonder if they look at that 2023 Diamondbacks team that won 84 games and made it to the World Series, is like, oh, we can do that. But that in itself, Mego, is an embarrassing thing to think. Because you're the Red Sox, right?
You don't need to operate like the Diamondbacks.
Your model should not be the 2023 Diamondbacks. Like, hey, we'll get in and we'll be okay. Your model should be, you want to talk about, hey, when are we going to go to the White House? 2018, when Cora said in spring training, hey, it's World Series or bust. Well, you had the highest payroll in the league. You had the best roster in the league. You had a guy on your team that year who ultimately won the MVP. Like, that was a fair thing to say, right? Like, hey, we want to get to the World Series. Now, when we're in year, 81 and 81 last year, last place the 2 years before that, we're two games below 500 now, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, when are we going to go to the White House? Like, to me, like, it's not just tone deaf for Kennedy to say, and I understand that Cora and Veritek as coaches, they need to always believe in their team, and they need to say, we're going to have high expectations. And high expectations are a good thing, but you, if you're going to be a coach or a manager of the Red Sox, you need to look in the mirror and say, wow, we're barely 500 and we keep losing close games. We need to focus on having one good day before we worry about booking a trip to the White House. Have a good day. Win. You know what? They won the series against the Reds. Can you win two or three or four series in a row? Can you win 7 out of 10 even before? I mean, let's not forget, Mego, last week they lost 6 games in a row.
Right.
Like, that's why, to me, it's not just tone deaf. It kind of gives to me a subtle signal of where they even think their franchise is at. Like, I don't know, maybe they just think they're the 2023 Diamondbacks.
Well, and so the text line is chiming in. What do you want him to say, Mayo? I think that's voice to text. It's tough for all of us. What do you want him to say, Mego? That they suck and they're giving up? No, but what follows those comments is where I think people get aggravated because it feels disingenuous.
And you can be honest without saying they suck. Like, he can sit there and say, hey, we won 2 games against the Reds, but what happened last night is not good enough, and we need to be better because our ultimate goal is to be a playoff team and contend for a World Series, but we can't do that with what we did last night. Like, he can send the message of we want to be a contending team without saying, oh, we're going to book a trip to the White House.
And after that, he says he refuses to really answer whether, if the team is under 500 at the trade deadline, are they going to add? And that's the biggest question, because they can be under 500 and still technically be very much in it. And that's where they've been a lot of the season. And so people are wondering, what is it going to take for you to see? Are you going to have enough context clues around this team to still add at the trade deadline, even if the record doesn't completely reflect it? Are you going to look at the way that individual guys are performing, the way that Alex Bregman looks when he's coming back from injury? Is that going to be enough to indicate to you what the bottom half of the season will look like for the postseason? And he sidesteps it. So don't give me everybody's laughing and joking about when we're going to the White House, but you won't commit to what you're going to do at the trade deadline. Like, those things, that makes you sound disingenuous to me. And I think that's where fans get frustrated with the mixed messaging. Talk about Mayo, voice to text calling me Mayo. That's where
might have been
it feels
honest,
like
with the mixed messaging right?
That's where it goes back to the full throttle stuff from years ago. Like, don't tell us that you see yourself as a World Series contending team, but you're not going to reinvest in the team. Just say, when you have nights like last night, it sure is disappointing after the first 2 games of that series. We want to see the team from the first 2 games of that series. We can't see the team from the bottom 2.5 innings of that, or bottom 2 innings, really, of that last game. That team can't show up. If that team continues to show up, you would understand why we don't want to reinvest in them. You would understand why we don't see them as contenders. But you throw out that White House line, it's just, it makes you sound bonkers. It makes you sound out of touch, and it makes you sound kind of phony.
And two things on that, right? So one, let's not forget, we're less than 2 weeks away from the All-Star break. Last year, the Red Sox were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break. Like, they're on pace to be worse than they were a year ago, a team that went 81-81. But on the Sam Kennedy adding, not adding, honestly, Mego, I don't think he has any say in that. And from what we've seen, like that Jeff...
Of course not, but he's trotting out lines.
Right, but because the Jeff Passan article about Craig Breslow insulating himself and all that, I think Kennedy has no say in it, and they just put Kennedy out there as a public face. And I know Kennedy was in Kansas City at that Devers meeting with Henry, but I'm sure he was more in the background because John Henry was there. So I think sometimes they put Sam Kennedy out just to talk to the media when he doesn't really have as much say, especially now with Breslow in charge, of what they're actually going to do come trade deadline, come offseason time, and all that. And I look at this team and 10,000 feet view, the Red Sox should always be buyers. But can you buy like five new defensive players? Like defensive, like really? Because when I look at.
Can you buy a new philosophy? Right. Can you buy fundamentals?
Yeah. Can you improve that in the span of a month? Can you get a better, can you buy base running, right, in the span of a month? Like that, see, that's the problem, because you and I can sit here, and I think they need another starting pitcher. I know their starting pitching as a whole has been better this year than the last couple of years, but I still think they're a starting pitcher short. I think they need another proven, experienced bat in their lineup. So those are great. Even if you get those two things, it doesn't solve the fact that you have the most errors in the major leagues. It doesn't solve the fact that you make consistent base running mistakes. Like that, to me, again, you can make the team better between now and the trade deadline. I just don't know if you're going to make them good enough to really be serious in October if they keep making all those silly mistakes.
Text and phone line is 617-779-7937 if you want to join the show. From a 508 number, he answered the 500 question. He said right now he can't answer, well, if they're going to be buyers or sellers. But if the team is over 500 at the trade deadline, they will be buyers. That's not the question. The question is if they're under 500, can they still see themselves as buyers? And that's the question he wouldn't answer.
And if they're under,
and to me, that's pretty much a no.
And if they're under 500 at the trade deadline, that means you will have not played well against the Nationals and Rockies coming up, which is probably not a, you know, that's not a good sign in itself. So, I mean, again, this is a team, this is an organization that should be buyers almost every single year. And when was the last time, Mego, that they were a true buyer?
I was thinking about this in the drive over.
I mean, because even 2021, I know they got Kyle Schwarber.
But people were upset. They thought they were fence-sitting too much then.
And even in...
It was too conservative.
He was the discount Anthony Rizzo, right? Mm-hmm. They got Schwarber because he was hurt at the deadline. And again, he worked out better than Rizzo, and he was great. But that was almost one of those things where they lucked out because Rizzo was the main target. The Yankees went out and got Rizzo. The Red Sox took the lesser, quote-unquote, lesser deal and Schwarber, and he just worked out. So even then, to me, they weren't true aggressive buyers. The last time was probably 18 when they traded for Steve Pierce in late June and added a future World Series MVP. And that's another piece of this, Mega. Like, we're sitting here two games below 500. If they want to get better and they truly want to buy, they shouldn't be waiting until the trade deadline with the needs they have. I just mentioned Steve Pierce. We saw the Padres a couple years ago add Luis Arraez in May to help them for a full season. Like, you can add sooner rather than, like, you don't have to wait until July 30th.
But they're certainly in wait and see mode. Like, going back to Craig Breslow on with Tom Caron on Nesson 2 days ago, yesterday, whenever it was at this point, saying that there's so many games left before the trade deadline. Like, to me, that tells me they're absolutely in wait and see
mode.
But
what more evidence do you need?
Like, I think they want to see how the team looks when Craig Breslow Alex Bregman comes back.
But you've seen the team with Bregman 2 months out of the year.
And they probably want to see how quickly the kids adjust.
And I get that. I do. But,
like, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just trying to predict what I think they're doing.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, I think you're correct. And I look at it, though, and say, why do you have to wait for that? Like, to me, I don't understand why you have to wait for that.
Because the default right now feels to be not to double down on the investment that they made before the season. Because they actually invested in payroll before the season. The team wasn't playing great. They were totally mediocre. The Devers situation got to a head where you have John Henry flying out and having two one-on-one conversations with Devers, ends up in this breakfast where Devers doesn't do what John Henry wants him to do, the owner, and they move on from him. And since then, you've had one good series, and then you have this series, which you can say is good. They won the series, but honestly, it really is just, with me, the two innings.
Jordan Hicks, two to three innings allowed last night, by the way.
Yeah, that you can't get out of your head. So I think that's why the default right now is not spending at the trade deadline, because they're like, what have you shown us that shows that you need more investment? Other than to quote economics, like 101, the sunken cost fallacy of, you've already invested so much in this team, aren't you just going to further invest and actually go for it? That's really the only reasoning I think that they would look at right now.
But I think you got to turn the question around and say, what have the front office and the organization actually invested in the team? Because, okay,
well, you'd say Bregman, Crochet.
Crochet was a big investment, don't get me wrong. Even Bregman, I love the signing. It's essentially a one-year deal with an opt-out. I mean, how much of an investment really is that? And that's it. Again, you needed two starting pitchers, you got one. You needed a couple bats in the lineup, you got one. So they've middled it again, like you said before, they've middled it again, but now at least you're in a position, once Bregman comes back, where you have a legitimately good player there, you have an ace in Crochet. By the way, your closer, Aroldis Chapman, should be an all-star. You have some of these pieces. Like, this would be the team to add to. And Breslow even said on Nesson on Sunday, well, we have such a great prospect pool, right? We have all these guys. Well, this would be an occasion to start to use some of it. He even mentioned, oh, we have a lot of money available now that, you know, the Devers contract is off the book. So you can afford, and which, by the way, I think is a BS conversation anyway. If you're the Red Sox, you can afford to bring in a contract right either way. But if that's how they're going to operate, you can do that now. Like, and I think they would be making a mistake to wait all the way until the trade deadline to add. And I know some deals aren't always available until the deadline, but to think that there's nothing available now, I think would also be a fallacy.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo Sports next hour at about 11:20. We're going to get into our Celtics talk at 11. On the other side of this, though, we are going to continue our Red Sox talk, because I know there's been names floated out there like Chapman, Aroldis Chapman. I've said this week he seems like the most likely by far trade piece if the Red Sox decide to be at least quasi sellers. There's another name that came up from The Athletic. And if you're excited about a certain player coming back from injury, when you hear this name, I don't think you're going to be very happy about the plans that the Red Sox might have at the trade deadline. Right after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network.
Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Is this the Strokes? Who taught you about this band, Jacob?
I've always been a big Strokes guy. Actually, Dave and I are both Strokes guys.
Okay, isolate that. Save that.
Will do.
I like Polo G, so a little
you
different.
You like what?
I'm a big rap guy.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. What's Polo G?
It's a rapper from Chicago.
Oh,
gotta
cool.
Get on it, Mego.
Okay.
Get hip.
I do need to. Most of the rap that I've listened to is like at least 5 years old. So
okay.
I'm just going deeper into Baby because they play it at Patriots all the time, and I feel like I should at least know a little bit of what's on the warm up.
Carry It On. Good new song from DaBaby.
We will get to Patriots much later in the show. We're going to get to Celtics in a couple minutes, but
we'll have a gangster rap discussion later.
We'll have our gangster rap discussion. I know everybody is dying to hear from you and I on that.
Of course.
To true experts on that subject. But Jim Bowden of The Athletic, Jones and I hit on this a little bit yesterday. That across executives, the survey of executives, the number one name that was likely to move at the trade deadline in the MLB was Aroldis Chapman. And I said, to me, that just seems most obvious if there were betting odds on this kind of thing, because he's 37 years old. He's the kind of position that moves easily. He's on a one-year deal with the Red Sox, and the Red Sox have not, despite hearing adding at the end of that clip of Craig Breslow with Tom Caron, they have not committed to being buyers, and they have not really, from a team perspective, shown performance that would commit them to being buyers. But this other name came out. So Jim Bowden of The Athletic shared what he believes executives, or rather what executives believe Boston will do with Bregman at the deadline. That is Alex Bregman. So Alex Bregman, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting to see him come off the IL, wondering if it's going to be before the All-Star break, wondering if he's going to look like he looked before the team really needs him. This is from Bowden. "There was another shocking name to me," he wrote. "Some execs believe the Red Sox could move on from Bregman at the trade deadline if they can't extend him by then." So this is the other side of it. We've been wondering, okay, is Bregman and his agent going to call the Red Sox bluff and say, "You really want to extend me? I think that you're going to bend more towards where we're at." Or is Bregman going to actually look at the situation of him being injured this season and kind of waiting out and settling for the Red Sox deal in the offseason and realizing that he's not going to have maybe even the market completely that he had last season? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, is this a leverage play from the Red Sox now putting this out there that, hey, the Red Sox could move Bregman if the contract doesn't get done?
I hope not, for two reasons. One, if you trade Chapman or Bregman, you are sending a clear message you're not serious about winning this year. There's either one, you're not serious. But on the Bregman thing, if I'm Bregman, I'm not signing an extension now unless it's a huge offer, because if he comes back from the injury and he's good the rest of this year and helps them make a playoff push, or at least good in his own right, that'll increase his value. If they trade him to another team, my expectation is he would be good for another team, which would also increase his value at 31 years old. So if I'm him, I'm not signing anything unless it's a huge offer that he doesn't think he would get in free agency. But otherwise, yeah, why? If you're him, why would you sign this deal with an opt-out after year one for a reason? Because you thought you'd have a good year. And by the way, .299 with 11 homers before his injury. He was having a great year, really good defensively as well. So if it's a leverage play by them, Mego, I think it's a pretty silly one, because if I'm Bregman, I'd say, okay, trade me somewhere else and I'll be good there and I'll still get a big contract.
I would obviously hate this. I would be hard-pressed to find a Red Sox fan who would like seeing Bregman traded, especially if it's because they can't get a contract done before that. Like, I think an acceptable position, if the team is in a similar place to where they are today, if they trade Aroldis Chapman, but they extend slash rework Bregman's deal, I think that that's almost an acceptable place for the Red Sox to be at the trade deadline. Like, you're making a long-term investment with Bregman and you're trading off a short-term piece. Maybe that signals, hey, we don't really think we're contenders. We don't really know if we're going to make it to the postseason, so we don't need to hold on to this guy. We're going to see what we get back. I don't even know if you'd get something back for the 2025 roster from that trade, but at least you would be making a long-term play for a guy that, especially when you doubt Rafi Devers, plays the position that started the whole Rafi Devers catastrophe. Like, can you imagine going back to the Rafi Devers story of how it crumbled? And if you listen to reporters like Sean McAdam, who said it really started to deteriorate between both sides in the offseason when the Bregman smoke was out there in the media and somebody from the Red Sox front office turned to Bregman and said, don't worry about that. That's just the media. That's just smoke and mirrors. That's just clickbait. Like, don't worry about that. And then they go and do it, and then everything devolves from there. If you lose both those guys, that will look like a disaster for this organization in my book.
Yeah, and if you trade Chapman, you're not trying to win this year. That's a signal. If you trade Chapman and Bregman, you're definitely not trying to win this year, but it feels like you're not trying to win next year either, right? Because again, Bregman, just think to next year's team, right? Not to get too far ahead of ourselves. You'd have Anthony and Meyer in their second year, Campbell assuming would be back, and you'd have Bregman, right? But you take Bregman out of that, so you got a bunch of second-year guys you're relying on with maybe Casas coming back from a major injury. I mean, even Narvaez would be in his second year.
You will not look like a serious baseball club.
No, you won't be.
You won't be able to hang on to major league players who are borderline all-stars, because, by the way, the Red Sox don't have anybody in the all-star game right now.
Yeah, which is crazy. I do think Chapman and Narvaez should be. It's kind of crazy. And maybe eventually they'll get on those all-star rosters. But I look at them approaching this trade deadline, and if they move any piece off their major league, even one of the outfielders, and I know there's been some talk of, well, you have Abreu and Rafaela and Duran and now Anthony. I wouldn't trade any of those guys. Like, Anthony's only a month in the big leagues. Duran has taken a step back from last year. Rafael has been elite defensively. And I think Abreu's a good player. I'd keep all four of them and figure out along the way your best three as you try to chase a postseason berth. If you trade any of those guys off your major league roster, you're just telling us that once again, you're not that serious about winning this year.
I think you've painted yourselves in a corner if you're Red Sox ownership / front office with Alex Bregman. When you moved Rafi Devers, you basically made the investment on Bregman. And if this, having this information out there, that contract doesn't get done before the trade deadline, then we're moving you, is, I agree with you, John, I don't think you said it this strongly, but an extremely dumb leverage play.
It's not even a real leverage play.
Maybe that's just other executives trying to read the tea leaves. Maybe that's not coming from anybody in the Red Sox front office. But if it is, it's malpractice.
And to a texter's point, a 978 text, right? If you trade Bregman, who's going to want to come here? Well, if you think about it, right, this would be another one of those guys, whether you go back to, you know, trading Mookie, letting Kyle Schwarber walk, letting Bogarts walk, now trading Devers, you know, trading Vasquez, which I know worked out for Abreu, but it would be just the Evaldi. It would be the next guy that you had here that was a good player that you willingly moved on from, right? Like, and you can make some individual cases. You can say, hey, Bogarts by year 5, 6, and 7 of a contract wouldn't be as good. Or, hey, Vasquez for Abreu was a good trade. And it was. But when you do this all the time and you constantly have guys that either you developed or that you traded for or even you signed and you just willingly move on from them where they still have multiple good years left. It's not like Kyle Schwarber walked, had one more good year, and that was it. He led the NL in homers a few years ago. He's still good. Obviously, we know Mookie and Evaldi are still good. Look at Pivetta out in San Diego.
He's got a better OPS than Rafi now.
Yeah, it'd just be the next guy. We had a texter earlier, even what about Quinn Priester, but it'd be just another one of those guys. So if you're an MLB free agent or a guy who maybe is looking for a trade to get out of where you are, why would you put the Red Sox on your list? Outside of money alone.
It would be money.
But have they even done that, really? Outside of the crochet extension, have they really even done that? Like, we joke about them being the interest kings. Like, how many times have, they're in on Soto, they're in on Yamamoto, they're in on Corbin Burns, and then they're in on Max Fried. And they sign none of them.
This is a guy who you know works here. Yeah, he's injured right
now. That's part of it. It's a great
point.
You
know he works here. You know he'll be the leader in the clubhouse. Just make it happen. We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to get into the Celtics. Little more buzz around Damian Lillard. How do you feel about the possibility of Damian Lillard coming here? Sounds like there is some mutual interest on both sides. Do you want another guy who's rehabbing from his Achilles next year? If it means it costs next to nothing, we'll do that right after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.